So many thanks to Uta for reading with me, and we are moving on now to batch number 5 of local news and features. I am joined, it's been a while, by Teresa, who's going to read some news stories, and it's lovely to have you with us. And we have 4 headlines that we're going to kick off batch number 5 with, and my headlines are: problem Stoke-on-Trent House is shut down as environmental health concerns are raised, and Stokey Sandra wins 3.6 million on the national lottery, and she's not giving up work yet. And over to Teresa, who's going to do her headlines for us.
Hi everybody, it's Teresa, as he said, and hopefully you've not forgotten my voice. It's all right, I'm just having my microphone fiddled with, so we might redo this bit. No. Right, this is the first headline. It says, Jeff, 76, now cancer-free, 6 years after Leighton Hospital bombshell. That sounds interesting. And the next one is, Hero Jack served in the Staffordshire Mercian Regiment, and now he's homeless.
Wonderful, and we'll hear about that very, very shortly. I'm going to read the first story, which is problem Stoke-on-Trent House is shut down as environmental health concerns are raised. Yeah, police have shut down a problem Stoke-on-Trent House, and officers are in discussions with the local authority over tidying up the Fegg Hayes home. Police said that the Oxford Road house has become a magnet for antisocial behaviour, and last week, magistrates at North Staffordshire Justice Centre approved a 3-month closure order. Meanwhile, neighbourhood officers say that they are liaising with Stoke-on-Trent City Council over environmental health concerns at the address, and a spokesperson for the local policing team said that officers have successfully applied for a closure order relating to a problem property in Stoke-on-Trent. The property, located on Oxford Road in Fegg Hayes, was highlighted by the community as a site of antisocial behaviour, drug use and associated criminality. Magistrates at the North Staffordshire Justice Centre approved the closure order, which will last for the next 3 months. Officers are liaising with the local authority over repair of the property to ensure that public safety and address environmental health concerns. Closure orders are just one of the ways that they work with local authorities and partners to address antisocial behaviour. So I'm over to Teresa now, who's going to read the next story for us in batch 5.
So this is the Jeff 76 one. A granddad with advanced lung cancer, which often leaves people dead within 4 months, has become free of the disease after being treated with a new immunotherapy drug. Jeff Cook, who's 76, was told he had stage 4 cancer in 2019 after he realised he had a sore on the left side of his chest that wasn't getting any better. Around 50% of people who are diagnosed with stage 4 cancer die within 4 months of their diagnosis, and only 5% of patients will be alive 5 or more years later, according to Cancer Research UK. Jeff was told he needed radiotherapy to target the tumour directly, but could also try a new treatment called pembrolizumab. I'll get that better as I go along, sorry. Pembrolizumab is a type of immunotherapy which blocks a protein called D1 on T cells, which then helps the immune system identify and attack cancer cells. The drug was previously deemed by the NHS as being too expensive, as it would cost around £84,000 per patient, but an agreement was made with the manufacturer to reduce the cost. After having the treatment for around 2 years, Jeff was told he is officially cancer-free and is now able to live life to the full. The granddad of 2 said, "Considering I had such an advanced cancer and the survival statistics were not in my favour, I feel like the pembrolizumab has been a medical miracle. I'm able to live life to the full as a result." Jeff, who has 2 sons, Gavin and Martin, gave up smoking more than 20 years ago. Towards the end of 2018, he realised that he had a sore on the left side of his chest, which wasn't getting any better, despite being prescribed antibiotics. He was referred to a chest consultant at Leighton Hospital, where he was later diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Dr. David Wolfe then suggested that Jeff could try having pembrolizumab treatment, which was fairly new at the time. Jeff said the staff were very welcoming. The receptionist always gave me a cheery welcome. And before the COVID-19 pandemic, we even got tea and biscuits from one of the volunteers. The nurses always treated me well too. The pembrolizumab was kind to my body and had no noticeable side effects from the treatment. And after 3 or 4 treatments, I was leading a normal life again. I was on it for 2 years, during which time I had regular blood tests, review appointments and CT scans. The review appointments moved to being on the telephone during the pandemic. Jeff is now able to go on holiday with his wife of over 50 years, Carol, and also takes part in a fortnightly quiz at the local cricket club. He said, "I'm incredibly grateful to Dr. Wolfe and all the NHS staff who have helped me during my treatment, and to the scientists and researchers who have helped develop such a wonderful life-saving drug." Dr. Wolfe said, "I'm delighted that Jeff has had such a positive response to his treatment and is now cancer-free 6 years after his diagnosis of stage 4 lung cancer and living life to the full. Stage 4 lung cancer remains very serious with average survival figures of less than a year. However, new treatments such as immunotherapy are a game changer for some of our patients. We still need to do better at diagnosing patients earlier, though, and continuing to develop new and better treatments." That's a very nice story.
Yeah, great. So, no, it was. So my next story now in batch number 5 is Stokey Sandro wins $3.6 million on the National Lottery, set for life, and she's not giving up work yet. So carer Sandra Hall has won $3.6 million and is not planning to give up her job just yet. The 61-year-old won £10,000 a month for the next 30 years on the Set for Life game. It comes as Sandra and fiancé John, who are getting married next year, are also going to buy a few luxuries. She's buying a hot tub engraved with her winning Set for Life numbers. Sandra from Stoke-on-Trent said, "It's always been who I am to try to look after others. It's my vocation in life. Sometimes I get reminded by family and friends that I need to do something for myself. So when I found out that I just won the top prize on Set for Life, I knew my one treat would be a hot tub. As for my winning numbers engraved on it, to just remind me of the win. I want to remind myself also how lucky I've been every time I take a dip. John has been needing a new van for work, and when I won, I immediately put a deposit down on one, and when the first £10,000 landed into the bank account, I insisted on paying off the balance." Sandra is also planning to pay for her sister's new bathroom and new decking at her mum's house, and she also recently donated her wedding dress to charity, and after her win, she's looking forward to shopping for a new one for her and John's big day next year. Sandra added, "If I can help my family and others out, I absolutely will, and that's one of the most amazing things about winning money. It hit me when the first £10,000 payment landed into the bank account. I've got 359 of these same payments still left to go. The possibilities are pretty much endless, and I'll be treating myself to a few other luxuries soon. I'll definitely be booking a luxury weekend break, and it'll be nice to go shopping and not look at the price for once. This win is incredible. I'm not sure if it's still fully sunk in. You always hope that you'll win, otherwise why would you play in the first place? But to actually know that I really am set for life is a dream come true for me. It won't change me, but it will mean that while I continue to care for others, I can make sure that I also care for myself too." Sandra matched the 5 main numbers and the life ball in the May 8th draw. Players can also win £10,000 a month for the whole year by matching 5 main numbers. So over to Teresa, who's going to do the final story for us in batch 5.
Well, it's nice to hear somebody in Stoke-on-Trent has won something, so good for Sandra. Right, here we go then. Hero Jack. A British man who has served 3 tours of Ukraine as an independent fighter says 50% of his comrades are dead and trauma means he won't return. Jack Sutton, 36, served as a private with the Staffordshire Mercian Regiment in the British Army for 4 years before he left in 2014. Excuse me. He travelled to the war-torn country shortly after Russia's invasion in February 2022. After deciding, he wanted to help and has spoken of the horrors he has seen while fighting on the front line against Russians. He spent 6 months there before returning for two more six-month stints over the next 2.5 years. Across his three tours, Jack served in Bakhmut, Kharkiv, Kyiv, and Donetsk alongside the 1st and 2nd Infantry Battalion of the International Legion, he said. Jack spent time in trenches manning machine guns in dense forest, capturing Russian soldiers and retrieving the bodies of fallen comrades. He has now revealed his day-to-day life was like hell and not for the faint-hearted as he battled to stay alive. He watched his friends blown up in front of him, contend with drones whizzing above him, and had to pack the remains of his fallen comrades into body bags so they could be sent home to their relatives. He was unable to eat meat when he returned because it reminded him of the smell of dead bodies. Since his return home, Jack has struggled with readapting and has spent time crying because of the flashbacks. He says 50% of the men he served with are no longer alive and he sees no prospect of the war ending anytime soon. Whilst he says he would love to carry on helping, Jack says he has taken too many blows to the head. Jack is homeless and says day to day you're basically doing 4 days on the front line and then 4 days off. It's hell in a word. It's not for the faint-hearted. My best friend was blown up. It was difficult out there. It's constant adrenaline, and then you have to deal with the adrenaline come down. You're fighting to stay alive, and I've come back, and I'm struggling day to day. Speaking of how he decided to go, he said, when the war started, they reached out asking for help. The Ukrainian president sent out a tweet asking for soldiers from other countries, and I went to the Ukrainian embassy because I have experience. I was straight out there serving. Getting there is a war in itself. When you get to the border, it's like a whole different world. When I first went, you didn't get paid. You were just there to get bombed. But now you go online and they'll push you straight to the front line if you have prior experience. But if you don't have experience, you'll do a small 6-week camp to prepare. I was a machine gunner. It affected me the way I am as a person now. If I could take it back, I would. It took a toll on me. The first few months there were full on. It takes something from you, but you also want to keep helping. Jack says while he would love to continue helping, he now struggles to talk with his friend who also served in Ukraine because of the shock. He said, I only went there to help. I'd love to carry on helping, but I can't anymore. I've had that many blows to the head. I can't see the war coming to an end anytime soon. And even as a British soldier, this is a totally different ball game in Ukraine. You're fighting another army. It really dawns on you. Across the Eastern Line is trench warfare now. I've got footage of me in no man's land, but my main role was to support my platoon with a support weapon, and that's a lot of pressure. My best friend is scarred for life. He's lucky to be alive. I struggle to talk to him, but when you've been through that much trauma, it's hard. He got hit with a mortar and the shrapnel hit him. That's a very sad story.
Yes, it is. So keep listening. We'll have some more stories for you in batch number 6.